The Apostle Paul versus Pastor John Hagee, Women Pastoring Over Men in the Church. 1 Corinthians 14:33, as in all the churches of the saints, verse 34, the women are to keep silent in the churches, for they are not permitted to speak, but are to subject themselves, just as the law also says. Verse 35. If they desire to learn anything, let them ask their own husbands at home, for it is improper for a woman to speak in church. Verse 36. Or was it from you that the word of God first went out? Or has it come to you only? Pastor John Hagee excuses and dismisses these plain teachings in scriptures when they do not fit his religious secular worldview. Let me say that it would appear that John Hagee is now teaching heresy. He understands scriptures, but has decided to go his own way. He has now shown himself to be an arrogant blasphemer and sadly looks the fool. But, sadly, most of Pentecostalism and the Assemblies of God have gone this way, choosing man's ways over the clear teaching of God. Hagee says the sanctuary was divided by a curtain was by custom and tradition, is a lie. Women were segregated to maintain purity, safety and order. Read 1 Corinthians 14:33-26 again, as in all the churches of the saints, verse 34, the women are to keep silent in the churches, for they are not permitted to speak, but are to subject themselves, just as the law also says. Verse 35. If they desire to learn anything, let them ask their own husbands at home, for it is improper for a woman to speak in church. Verse 36. Or was it from you, John Hagee, that the word of God first went out? Or has it come to you only, John Hagee? If Hagee denies and twists these particular scriptures for no good reason except to express and impose his own opinions, then how much more of God's word has he distorted? This edict or teaching about women pastor and women being pastors over men actually begins with subjection, one to another in the body of Christ, and specifically about women wives being subject to their own husbands. See Ephesians 5:21. Part 1, hear what and why the Bible says what it says about women pastoring over men. Come, let us reason. Tip of the spear. What does that phrase mean to you? The Urban Dictionary puts it this way, an American idiom commonly used in military operations to mean the first soldiers to go into a war zone. In common usage, it means the first to venture into a new endeavor. A trailblazer. The Bible uses a similar term to describe relationships between Christians in general and between husbands and wives in particular. The word is hapatasso. You will never find that word spelled, as such, in your Bible, though. It is the Greek word hapatasso used for submit to or be subject to. The King James uses the word submit, but it reads this way in the New American Standard Version of the Bible. Ephesians 5:21, and be subject to one another in the fear of Christ. Verse 22. Wives, be subject to your own husbands, as to the Lord. Verse 23. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ also is the head of the church, he himself being the Savior of the body. Verse 24. But as the church is subject to Christ, so also the wives ought to be to their husbands in everything. The word hapatasso literally means 1. To arrange under, to subordinate. 2. To subject, put in subjection. 3. To subject oneself, obey. 4. To submit to one's control. 5. To yield to one's admonition or advice. 6. To obey, be subject. Hupo, arrange under, tasso, mutually agree upon. The intention of submission or subjection is found in the context of the words in this chapter of Ephesians, which encourages us to be wise and moral, kind and pure, gentle and forgiving. The context is also found in the meaning of the words in these verses. Specifically, hapatasso comes from a Greek military term meaning to arrange troop divisions in a military fashion under the command of a leader. These troop formations were called a phalanx. The phalanx was the formation, usually in triangular form, in which the hoplite phalanx of the archaic and classical periods in Greece, 800 to 350 BC, was the formation in which the hoplites would line up in ranks in close order. Hoplites were citizen soldiers of ancient Greek city-states who were primarily armed with spears and shields. Hoplite soldiers utilized the phalanx formation in order to be effective in war with fewer soldiers. The formation discouraged the soldiers from acting alone, for this would compromise the formation and minimize its strengths. The hoplites would lock their shields together, and the first few ranks of soldiers would project their spears out over the first rank of shields. Those at the front were, what we would call today, the tip of the spear or the point man. They presented the first defense against the enemy and were the first to engage the enemy and the first to take casualties. The phalanx therefore presented a shield wall and a mass of spear points to the enemy, making frontal assaults against it very difficult. It also allowed a higher proportion of the soldiers to be actively engaged in combat at a given time, rather than just those in the front rank. This word, hapatasso, in non-military use, is a voluntary attitude of giving in, cooperating, assuming responsibility, and carrying a burden. The Bible gives this as an example for husbands and wives to cooperate and to successfully navigate life and in waging wars against their common enemy, Satan. The wife is fully engaged in the marriage relationship, but, God says the husband is to be the tip of the spear in order to protect and preserve and, if necessary, the first to fall. Interestingly, Ephesians 5:22, be subject to your own uses the word idios, which means, uniquely one's own, peculiar to the individual. It is stronger than the simple possessive pronoun, own. This emphatic adjective means private, personal. God gives each husband a wife, designed by God, Himself, to fulfill a role specifically for that husband. God gives the wife gifts, talents, abilities and a calling uniquely designed to serve God and to complement and to complete the husband. This is why the Bible says, husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave Himself up for her, so that He might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, that He might present to Himself the church in all her glory, having no spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she would be holy and blameless. So husbands ought also to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his own wife loves himself. It is also why God says, wives, be subject to your own husbands, as to the Lord. Neither the husband nor the wife can be made complete as persons when finding refuge, protection and provision. But as a God-given ability, you can mature and sustain one another, until you understand this spiritual principle and follow it. Marriage has mutual strength through commitment and cooperation with one another under God's steady hand. Please take this to heart, dear ones. This message is so important. The world and the devil are deceiving the family into thinking what works for you is okay. It is not okay. God's design, His plan and His word is what gives life, and life more abundant. Stop following the world and reason through God's word. Understand it and live. So, how does this apply to women in the church, and specifically women as pastors in a church? In this instance, it is much simpler to explain from scriptures and even easier to understand than the first half of this article. Allow me to lay the groundwork. First, all scripture is the breathed out word of God, according to 2 Timothy 3:16-17. The Bible tells us that the word of God is without any error, is dependable, revealing, powerful, piercing, and eternal. It is the lamp unto our feet and the light upon our path. John 14:14-18 tells us that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and that Jesus is the Word. Additionally, Jesus tells us that He came to tell the truth, John 18:37, and that He in fact is the truth, John 14:6. So, it is safe and wise to believe and to do whatever the Bible says, especially the plain things. Therefore, when the Bible says, as in all the churches of the saints, the women should keep silent in the churches. For they are not permitted to speak, but should be in submission, as the law also says. If there is anything they desire to learn, let them ask their husbands at home. For it is shameful for a woman to speak in church. I have read the numerous opinions and commentaries on this matter of women being ordained as a pastor. Reading the pros and cons doesn't take one long to determine what the varying authors believed before they wrote their opinion. One such opinion, found on Bible.org, written by Asandra Gland, who holds a Master of Theology degree from Dallas Theological Seminary, and a PhD in the Humanities, Aesthetic Studies from the University of Texas at Dallas, tries to frame the Apostle Paul's words in the context of spiritual gifts, specifically prophecy and speaking in tongues. I find her attempt clumsy and severely biased at best, and the use of eisegesis, a deliberate distortion of scriptures, at worst, connecting dots that don't align, so to speak. The context of Paul's remarks are about orderly worship but come under the heading of submission to authority as a protective covering as described throughout the Bible. 1 Corinthians 11:2-3, now I commend you because you remember me in everything and maintain the traditions even as I delivered them to you. But I want you to understand that the head of every man is Christ, the head of a wife is her husband, and the head of Christ is God. The rebellious and feeble attempts to change the meaning and the context of this matter in these verses should cause the rebel to remember these words, "Now the serpent was more crafty than any other beast of the field that the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, 'Did God actually say? His word was made flesh and dwelt among us. God sent his son to seek and to save, to make safe, to make whole, to make healthy and sound, with a great purpose and direction in life. And to as many as received him by faith, he has given them the right to be the children of God. For your own sake and safety, don't change even one letter or iota of his word. Believe and live. Your brother and friend, Mike Young." Next, part 2.